Con artists are everywhere, and innocent people are getting scammed left and right every single day, over the phone, over the internet. And here in Los Angeles, there's an uptick in staged accidents. A crash for cash, as it's called, where someone will purposely rear-end you, and then another scammer in cahoots with them will appear on the scene out of nowhere, saying they saw the whole thing and you were in the wrong, just so they can shake down your insurance company for a few thousand dollars. And this scam works really well. It just happened to a good friend of mine. But by far the worst kind of scams happening these days are love scams. People who fall in love with con artists, not knowing they're con artists. And the other thing they don't know is that falling in love with a con artist can kill you. That's exactly what happened to famous Hollywood actress Brittany Murphy. She fell in love with a con artist, and it literally killed her. I'm Jonathan Walton, and this is Hardcore Con. Episode 2, Simon Says.
I don't know why Dion's going out with a high school boy. They're like dogs.
It's a movie that defined the Southern California Valley Girl archetype.
Ugh, as if!
Clueless comes out in 1995, and it's a monster hit, grossing nearly $90 million at the box office, eclipsing its $12 million budget.
Amber?
Miss Stoger, my plastic surgeon doesn't want me doing any activity where balls fly at my nose.
Well, there goes your social life.
It's about disparate groups of over-the-top Beverly Hills teenagers navigating the pitfalls of their high-end high school.
You mean to tell me that you argued your way from a C-plus to an A-minus?
Totally based on my powers of persuasion. You proud?
Honey, I couldn't be happier than if they were based on real grades.
Clueless turns actress Alicia Silverstone into a household name.
Is it that being, like, you know, center of attention, star of the movie?
Yeah, because nobody treats me like it.
But Clueless also introduces the world to 17-year-old Brittany Murphy, who steals scene after scene after scene in the movie, playing Ty, a grungy, not quite Beverly Hills-ready teenager undergoing a makeover metamorphosis.
I was like, why am I even listening to you to begin with? You're a virgin who can't drive.
After Clueless, Brittany Murphy goes on to star in a slew of hit Hollywood movies, including Girl Interrupted with Angelina Jolie in 1999.
My father loves me.
Don't Say a Word with Michael Douglas in 2001.
I'll never tell.
Uptown Girls with Dakota Fanning in 2003.
You don't know what goes on between me and Ray, because you don't know very much about your own daughter.
And during Brittany Murphy's rise to stardom, she dates a bunch of different kinds of guys, which ultimately sets her up to fall in love with a con artist. Let me explain. Brittany Murphy starts dating Eminem while starring in his movie 8 Mile back in 2002.
I hear you're a real dope rapper.
Who told you I was a dope rapper?
And then she dates Ashton Kutcher while starring in the movie Just Married with him in 2003. I mean, their chemistry doing press interviews for the movie is palpable.
She's a Scorpio. What else do you need to know?
I'm a double Scorpio.
Double Scorpio. She'll be doing it on the wedding night.
But after 5 months, Ashton Kutcher breaks up with Brittany Murphy, reportedly telling a friend that he had never met anyone who wanted to get married more than Brittany Murphy.
Yeah, I'm not like a big like believer in marriage like altogether, but...
After Eminem and Ashton Kutcher, Brittany goes on to date two other men who are not Hollywood actors or performers. In 2004, she dates a talent manager, and she actually gets engaged to him, saying publicly that he is the love of her life. But the couple breaks up a few months later, And then, the next year, in 2005, Brittany Murphy starts dating a production assistant that she meets on the set of the movie she's filming, Little Black Book.
How does a girl who jumps into a rabbit hole, plummeting into chaos, come out unchanged?
And even though she only knows this guy, this production assistant, for a few months, she gets engaged. A big-time Hollywood actress getting engaged to a production assistant from one of her films. It's a rare kind of thing, but it does actually happen. I mean, Christina Aguilera famously falls in love with a production assistant from her film, Burlesque, back in 2010.
I need a tough love,
And they're reportedly still together today and have an 11-year-old daughter. But Brittany Murphy's engagement to her production assistant boyfriend is sadly short-lived. The couple breaks up just a few months later. Friends and acquaintances of Brittany Murphy have stated publicly that she is a hopeless romantic, that she wants to get married more than anything in the world so that she can have kids and start a family. And what no one could have imagined at the time was that Brittany Murphy was unintentionally giving a professional con artist all the intel he needed to scam her to death.
Okay, is she awake?
Please, no!
Is she breathing?
No!
It's the morning of December 20th, 2009, and 32-year-old Brittany Murphy is lying dead in her gigantic marbled bathroom in her Hollywood Hills home. Her lifeless body is sprawled out in the shower. A powerful spray of cold water drenches her. She will not come to. So her husband of 2 years, a man named Simon Monjak, lays her body out on the floor.
Just keep doing compressions.
And starts performing CPR.
Let the chest come all the way up between pumps.
As her frantic mother is on the phone with 911.
Count out loud so I can count with you, okay?
Count out loud.
I want to hear. It's got to be at this rate, like one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Keep going at that rate.
Eight, nine.
That's too slow.
Too slow.
Okay, he's going.
14.
You're
got to be a little faster than that. Somebody's doing mouth to mouth.
Yes.
Okay. All right, ma'am. Did somebody see what happened?
No.
Okay.
My daughter's passed out.
Her daughter Brittany Murphy wasn't passed out though. She was dead, and her actual cause of death can be traced all the way back to the moment she falls in love with Simon Monjak. It's September now, in 2006, 3 years before Brittany Murphy is lying dead on her bathroom floor. She's in Japan, shooting a movie called The Ramen Girl.
I'm training to become a ramen chef.
That's a wrap.
It's the end of a long day on set, and she's sitting in bed in her Tokyo hotel room, reading a new script titled The White Hotel, written by British filmmaker Simon Monjak, based on a book about an Austrian opera singer being treated by Sigmund Freud for psychosomatic pains in her left breast and vagina. It's a truly bizarre story that the likes of Nicole Kidman, David Lynch, and Barbara Streisand have all tried and failed to bring to the screen. But Brittany Murphy loves this latest incarnation, supposedly written by Simon Monjak, and she wants to meet with him as soon as she gets back to Los Angeles to talk about possibly starring in it.
This is your captain speaking. We'll be touching down in Los Angeles in about 20 minutes. The temperature is 68 degrees with clear skies and a light breeze coming out of the east.
Brittany Murphy is under the impression that Simon Monjak is a writer and a director and a producer, but he's actually just a con artist who cleverly appears to be a writer and a director and a producer. But the only film Simon Monjak is credited with directing is a 2001 UK movie called 2 Days, 9 Lives, a movie that was funded entirely by his own family. and a movie that was never actually released to the public. And the only other film credit to Simon Monjak's name is a bizarre story credit for a 2006 film called Factory Girl.
You're his prop, okay? You're disposable to him.
But the actual director of Factory Girl, George Hickenlooper...
The reason I made the film was to sort of tell a story about, you know, what it means to look for love.
Has stated publicly that, quote, Simon Monjak had nothing to do with the film Factory Girl, and that he filed a frivolous lawsuit against the movie, making bogus claims that they'd stolen his script and they were forced to settle with him as he held the production over a barrel. Simon Monjak wanted a story credit on the movie in order to drop his lawsuit, and producers just gave it to him because it was much cheaper and quicker than going to trial. I mean, a trial would have held up the film's release and cost producers millions of dollars. This show is brought to you by BetterHelp. We talk about mental health more openly now, but asking for help can still feel hard, and BetterHelp's latest research confirms it. BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of them believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from doing so. With more than 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, and it works with an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session. BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you, so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences. And their 12 plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. So they settled with Simon Monjak and gave him a story credit, which didn't cost them anything, just so they could release their movie on time, a movie that Simon Monjak had no part in making. It's the same reason car insurance companies will just pay off those crash for cash scammers I mentioned earlier, because cutting them a check for $5 or $10,000 is way cheaper than paying a lawyer to go to trial. But the director of the movie Factory Girl, George Hickenlooper, desperately tried to sound the alarm that Simon Monjak was using his ill-gotten, scammy Factory Girl movie credit to solicit money from Hollywood. But actresses like Brittany Murphy were just not listening. It's early 2007 now, a few months after Simon Monjak scammed his way into getting that Factory Girl movie credit, and he and Brittany Murphy are having dinner at a swanky Los Angeles eatery, discussing the movie he's planning to cast her in, The White Hotel. Brittany Murphy loves his script and his refined British accent. There's just something about a British accent to most Americans that engenders trust and respect and imbues whatever they're saying with authority and a tinge of majesty. Brittany Murphy wholeheartedly believes this movie, The White Hotel, is really going to happen, and she's excited for the opportunity. But The White Hotel will never actually be made. Remember, con artists don't outsmart you, they outfeel you. And right now, Simon Monjak is ruthlessly outfeeling Brittany Murphy, weaponizing her excitement against her to hook her into his latest scam. Keep in mind, Simon Monjak is not a good-looking man by any stretch. He's about 100 pounds overweight and really greasy, but as I explain in my book, Anatomy of a Con Artist, The 14 Red Flags to Spot Scammers, Grifters, and Thieves, what most professional con men and con women lack in physical appearance, they more than make up for with their personality and charm and charisma. That is their superpower, and that's how they rope their victims in. Simon Monjak appears exceedingly charming and charismatic to Brittany Murphy, and he's chokingly reverential. He tells her that if she listens to him, and if she does a good job on his film, she could win her first Oscar for the role he's giving her. And just so you know, the desire to win an Oscar is like crack to most actors in this town. Some of them will literally do anything for it.
I would like to thank Harvey Weinstein.
Thank Harvey Weinstein.
Thank you, Harvey Weinstein.
At some point during that first dinner with Simon Monjak, Brittany Murphy makes the fatal mistake that every victim makes in the midst of every professional con artist. She reveals the thing she really wants more than anything in the world, and the thing that she's having trouble getting in life, and that's a husband and a baby. If you recall Brittany Murphy's four previous relationships with Eminem and Ashton Kutcher, and the other two guys she was engaged to, all ended, and Ashton Kutcher tells a friend in a disparaging way that he'd never met anyone who wanted to get married more than Brittany Murphy. Well, the second Simon Monjak figures out her problem, he quickly begins to position himself as the solution. Just 4 months after that inauspicious dinner in Los Angeles, where Simon Monjak casts Brittany Murphy as the lead in a film that he tricks her into believing is really happening, she actually marries him in a private ceremony to the utter shock and awe of all her friends and family, all except for Brittany Murphy's mother. She gets taken in by the con man too, and she gets sucked into this fictitious world he creates out of whole cloth, made up of lies he's been telling for years, perfecting each fantastical tale over time. Eight years before Brittany Murphy marries Simon Monjak, it's 1999, and Alison Burnett, the screenwriter for the movie Autumn in New York, starring Richard Gere and Winona Ryder, is hosting a dinner party for industry friends and invites Simon Monjak to attend because Burnett's heard tell that Simon Monjak is a billionaire from London who just got to Hollywood and is looking to mix things up. Burnett thinks, maybe Simon Monjak can fund a film I want to make.
I'd like to propose a toast.
During dinner, Simon Monjak is quite the bon vivant raconteur, regaling everyone at the table with tales of his incredible wealth. He says his grandfather is the founder of British Steel and that he, Simon Monjak, personally owns 17 Ferraris, and that his past girlfriends include supermodel Elle McPherson and Madonna. Now remember, this dinner party is happening in 1999. There are no smartphones, no social media, and only 26% of homes have internet. So people can't really Google stuff in the moment, making the tall tales told by con artists of the day that much more believable.
Yeah. Well, she needs to work on him about that, doesn't she?
See, that's the thing.
Simon Monjak also tells those Hollywood writers and producers gathered at that long and important dinner table that night that he recently had terminal brain cancer and beat it into remission by ingesting a rare and very expensive potion derived from shark fins. Keep in mind, nothing Simon Monjak tells the people at that dinner party that night is true, and his cancer story is actually a rerun. Years earlier, he tells the same story to his own mother and tricks her out of thousands of dollars for fictitious treatments and hospital stays that did not happen. Most con artists are psychopaths, which means there's a stark difference between con artists and other kinds of criminals. Let's take a mob boss, for instance. Yes, a mob boss will order the murder of dozens of people who cross him. And there will be blood on his hands, for sure. But a mob boss loves his own mother and would never do anything to harm his own family. Con artists, on the other hand, will scam their own mother and their father, and their brothers, and their sisters, and their children. Con artists will scam anyone they come into contact with. So the fact that Simon Majak scammed his own mother using fake cancer treatments as a ruse should tell you everything you need to know about his character, or lack thereof. It's 2003 now, 4 years before Brittany Murphy marries Simon Majak. She's still dating Ashton Kutcher at this point, and she plunks down nearly $4 million and buys a beautiful 5-bedroom, 8,000-square-foot mansion in the Hollywood Hills from none other than Britney Spears. Spears is reportedly thrilled to be getting rid of that house because, in her mind, it's haunted. She tells a friend that a ghost tried to push her down the stairs, and she's glad to be getting out of it. So, in 2003, Brittany Murphy moves into that house with her mother, who she's been living with ever since she was born. I mean, Brittany and her mother are inseparable. She's 28 years old at this point, but when she was a kid, her mother sees tremendous talent in Brittany Murphy. This is her at 12 years old.
Hi, Mom. Hi.
Charming a local New Jersey TV reporter at the fair into including her in his story. She precociously walks right up to him, braver than Gunga Din, and asks point blank if he'd like a children's perspective on the fair story he's covering that day.
Yes, I would like a children's perspective.
Great.
What is your name?
Brittany.
Brittany, how are you doing today, Brittany?
Great, how are you?
Very good. You want a job hosting a television show?
Sure.
You seem to have like a good personality.
Even at 12 years old, Brittany Murphy had it. That ineffable quality most Hollywood stars have. They just pop, and they really stand out in a crowd. Brittany's mom knew her daughter was special ever since she was a kid doing school plays. And in 1991, she moves Brittany from New Jersey to Los Angeles when Brittany is just 13 years old so she can pursue a legitimate acting career.
Line up, and when you're called on, say your lines to camera.
And just 4 years later, in 1995, Brittany Murphy lands that breakout role in Clueless.
This is a bunch of junk that reminded me of Elton, but I want to burn it because I am so over him.
Fast forward now to 2008 and 2009, and Brittany Murphy's married life with her husband, con artist Simon Majak. I want to point out here that one of the major 14 red flags that every scammer waves, it's the red flag of isolation. In order for a con artist to successfully scam you, they need to be able to isolate you, to lure you away from friends and family members who might otherwise talk you out of going along with the con, who might poke holes in all the incredible stories you're being told. And over the course of their 2+ years together, Simon Majak isolates Brittany Murphy from all of her friends and family. It gets so bad that one day, all of her loved ones orchestrate a bona fide intervention to try to get Brittany Murphy to understand that her husband is a pathological liar, and he's been isolating her from them, and he's not good for her. But by this time, it was too late. Brittany Murphy was madly in love with Simon Majak, or rather, madly in love with the man she believed him to be. And love is the most powerful force there is in the universe. People kill for love all the time, and die for love all the time. Most people, myself included, will do anything for the person they love. Anything. And if you're in love with a con artist, like Brittany Murphy was in love with Simon Majak, doing anything included turning her back on all of her friends and family who tried to talk some sense into her that day during that intervention. And to complete the utter isolation of Brittany Murphy, con artist Simon Majak fires her agent, fires her manager, and fires her lawyer. And he takes control of her cell phone and her email account. He didn't want anyone outside his purview talking to her or telling her anything that might pierce the veil of the made-up world he was holding her hostage in. He even fires her hair and makeup person on her last film and insists on doing her hair and makeup himself. And he does an awful job. It's a movie called Something Wicked, and Brittany Murphy's hair and makeup lives up to the film's title.
Ever since the accident, she's been displaying signs of post-traumatic stress.
From the moment Brittany Murphy starts dating Simon Monjak, he is ferociously waving the first con artist red flag that I write extensively about in my book. It's red flag number one. I just want to help. Because who doesn't immediately love a helper? And from day one, Brittany Murphy believes with all her heart that Simon Monjak is helping her with her career, helping her with her love life, and helping her with her finances. In the 2 years they were married, Simon Monjak takes $3 million out of Brittany Murphy's bank account and convinces her he's investing it in real estate. And he buys her diamonds with some of that money and tells her they're investments too, and that these diamonds will appreciate astronomically in value as the years go by and will be worth many millions more very soon. But the truth of the matter is, there were never any investments, no real estate, no nothing. And all of those diamonds he bought her were fake. Simon Monjak was just a con man who was bleeding his victim dry.
911, what's the emergency, please?
Oh, somebody's passed out.
Somebody what?
My daughter's passed out.
So on that morning of December 20th, 2009, when Brittany Murphy's mother is calling 911 and Simon Monjak is doing chest compressions on her lifeless body, it's too late. She's already dead. And her official cause of death is pneumonia. But here's the thing. Brittany Murphy had been battling a respiratory infection for 6 weeks. 6 motherfucking weeks. And she just kept getting worse and worse. And Simon Monjak wouldn't take her to a doctor. And he wouldn't take her to a hospital. Why? Because like all con artists who isolate their victims, they are constantly terrified and on edge that someone their victim talks to on the outside might snap them out of the spell they're in, might ruin the con. A dozen different doctors who've investigated the death of Brittany Murphy all say the same thing, that if she had gotten to a hospital even a day before she died, or at some point during her 6 week respiratory infection, that she would be alive today. Because pneumonia is curable, as long as you catch it in time. In the aftermath of Brittany Murphy's death, Simon Monjak took money from the media to give tours of her home. And he created a phony nonprofit in her name and solicited tens of thousands of dollars in donations. It's obvious to me that the last thing in the world Simon Monjak wanted was Brittany Murphy dead. I mean, she was his meal ticket. She was his livelihood. And now that she's gone, there's no money coming in. Simon Monjak quickly falls into a deep depression and starts drinking and gets very sick himself. He actually catches pneumonia and refuses to go to the hospital. And 6 months after Brittany Murphy's death, on May 23rd, 2010, Simon Monjak dies in bed of pneumonia, just like his wife. Of all the podcast episodes I've ever produced, this one was hands down the hardest. I teared up a few times writing it, and I was enraged throughout. But this also might be the most important podcast episode I've ever produced, because you all need to know how these love scams are hatched so you can spot them, not just in your own life, but in the lives of the people you care about. I wish someone close to Brittany Murphy would have run a background check on Simon Monjak early on, before she fell madly in love with him, and that love blinded her, and God knows before she married him. they would have seen criminal charges and a warrant issued for his arrest for credit card fraud in 2005. They would have seen that he ripped off a UK bank for $500,000, and that bank successfully sued him for it in 2006. They would have discovered he's not the heir to British Steel. In fact, he's not wealthy at all. They might have even dug up the fact that he did similar things to previous girlfriends, isolated them from their family and friends, and bought them fake jewels. Simon Monjak's own brother summed him up thusly, quote, "From early childhood, Simon had the ability to manipulate the environment to get what he wanted out of it." And his brother didn't say this in a disparaging way. It was just a matter of fact. Simon Monjak was a dyed-in-the-wool con artist, and he was waving every single one of the 14 red flags that I write about in my book that con artists wave before they scam you. But no one noticed until it was much too late. And it cost Brittany Murphy her life. Dead at just 32 years old. Hardcore Con was created, written, and hosted by me, Jonathan Walton, for Jonathan Walton Media. Executive producer, Evan Goldstein. All editing and sound design was done by Jimmy O'Holligan. My book, Anatomy of a Con Artist, The 14 Red Flags to Spot Scammers, Grifters, and Thieves, is available everywhere books are sold, in print and audio, so it's like a podcast. And both print and audio are also available for free at most public libraries throughout the country and on the Libby app. God, I love the Libby app. Make sure you subscribe to Jonathan Walton Media on whatever podcast platform you're listening on so you can get alerts when new episodes drop and new seasons. And if you've got a story you think deserves its own podcast, pitch it to me at jonathanwalton.com.